Hello and welcome to the Clydesdale Chronicle, where we focus on preserving the stories of the past, addressing the issues of today, and generating ideas for the future. Enjoy.
Oh, welcome to the new year and a new year of podcasts. We're going to kick it off this year, taking a little reflection. We've been on the air for probably about a little over a year, so we'll take a little reflection on kind of where we've been. But with the big event of the World Show over, we also want to talk about where is the Clyde Association going? What are some of the big events that are coming up? What are some of the big topics so that our membership can be informed as to what's going to happen over the next few years, along with how's the first year going for some of our new board members? But first, we need to take it to our resident weatherman. I got Curtis Kentner coming from us to us from Iowa. Where are you at, Curtis?
Well, tonight we are live from Snugglebutt Creek, bringing you the weather.
How exactly is the weather out there?
Well, you might want to switch to something more exciting, like watching paint dry or something. Today's forecast for here in Snugglebutt Creek is 100% chance of who cares, with temperatures hovering around 65, which is neither hot or cold enough to give a damn. The only thing that's really unpredictable here is whether the wind will bother to show up at all or not. Expect mild winds that are too lazy to even ruffle a leaf, and a 99% chance that no one will be talking about this tomorrow. So either stay inside or don't, because it really doesn't matter.
Curtis, I feel like we're not even going to be talking about this 2 seconds from now, but thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me, and stay warm or cold, whatever you want.
Thanks, Curtis. It sounds like the weather and the state of Iowa is doing a lot better than the state of Minnesota. Thanks for your time.
No problem.
All right, well, we'll get into it. So tonight we're joined with Grant Johnson, board member for the Clydesdale Breeders Association, our president, Andrew Stahlheim, and another board member, Katie Fievel-Bauer. So, Christy, I'll let you kind of just take it away with a couple questions, and then we'll do a little bit of updates on some of the sale. Christy's also a member of the membership committee, and we have some important things coming up there. So I'll let you just take it away.
Yeah, I think the first thing that we want to talk about, number one, is for the three of you that are new board members, how is year one gone with the biggest event is, you know, coming on board the World Show? Like, that has been the big push for the three of you. How is, now that it's over and we're moving on, but how did that first year of being a board member go? I'm going to start with Grant.
It's been a lot. It's been an intense, eight, 10 months now, being a board member, you know, being an active member of the association. It was, you know, always try to do what I can to help with the sale. But with the World Show being in my hometown, before I was a board member, just trying to get the sponsorship and the word out. And then when I became a board member, it really kind of just ratcheted up even more to get word of mouth. I think I was able to reach out to some local media, which I think it was extremely successful and helpful to get that stuff out here. So that was really exciting for me to have the local media, print, news, radio, all out there during the World Show for that entire week was really exciting to know that the community really was engaged and excited.
Do we have numbers on attendance? Like, do we know how many people came through the gate? It seemed like we had people in the stands. That was probably one of the most surprising things. So to hear you talk about like all the community pieces, it feels like that might have paid off. But do we have any idea?
The rough numbers, gentleman at the fairgrounds, he said that our World Show was the largest non-fair state fair event that's ever been held at that fairgrounds. So that was really exciting. His rough numbers was about 10,000 people for the entire duration of the 5 days, you know, 6 days of when we're at the fairgrounds. So that was the rough numbers. I mean, parking was not available anywhere. People were parking wherever they could. I mean, a lot of time there's a lot of open spots. Those spots, people from just being out in the, just walking and people coming through our stables, you know, like, oh, we had to park, you know, over by the pig barns, over by, I'm going to say by gate 9, I think that's lot 21, which is near the Department of Natural Resources. So, I mean, people were trekking to get to our facility, not to see the Budweiser Clydesdales, of course, the arenas and all the stables. So that was kind of the rough numbers. You know, the only thing I wish there was more sponsorship for the community. The companies I did reach out to inquire, you know, they said, oh no, we're not being available. We didn't have available money, you know, reach out for next year. And I always try to say, this is not going to be a year event. It could be another 8 years to 12 years before it's even back in the US. And it, who knows if it's even going to be at the fairgrounds.
But the problem with those corporate sponsors.
It's a one-time shot thing where you can get involved, get your name out there. And, you know, hopefully now that people have seen that, there's been the amount of people my parents have talked to, I've talked to, like, they was like, oh, we can't wait for you guys. Can we come back next year? So the community is still excited about the World Show, about the Clydesdales, about all the classes that we had available for the people to see, from hitching, riding, of course, to Budweiser Clydesdales coming in to last minute to do the demo. I mean, it was all excited. I mean, it just went really well, and it just was really excited. And I got emotional multiple times, you know, talking to people that's probably being exhausted, running around, trying to do whatever you can to make the run to go successful, not only trying to show your horses, but, you know, doing whatever I could as a board member, jump in and do something, you know, whenever you needed help.
So now we've disappointed the town of Springfield. We will not be back for like 9 years. It's not going to happen again. I'm going to turn it over to Katie. How has year one gone for you?
It's been good. There's been a lot, but it's been good. Just getting more involved and making sure things happen through the organization, trying to reach out to our membership and see what more we can do to reach out to them and for our breed.
Any advice, you know, as the membership committee is looking to solicit other individuals to join the board, any advice for anybody who's even contemplating maybe putting their resume out there?
Yeah, I encourage anybody that wants to get involved and wants to make sure that their voice is heard to put in their name to run for the board. Like, it's important to look at our bylaws too and see what is expected of a board of director. It's listed on the website, so take a look there. But it can be a lot of work, and hopefully whoever wants to run recognizes that it's expected of them to help out, help on the committees that they get involved in, and hopefully more than just one committee, as there are so many opportunities for people to be involved and to improve our great organization.
How much time do you think it's taken you with, like, if somebody was looking at a time commitment, how much time do you think you've put in? I mean, maybe granted, knowing it's World Show year, so that's probably the highest it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm on four committees myself. So I'm quite involved, I would say, right now. So maybe an hour, couple hours a week, depending if it's a meeting week, or because usually those for myself hit early in the month and my end of the month is kind of more quiet, but then I'm getting ready for the next month. So, and it's the winter time right now. So we don't have, like, the national show isn't until August. So that's one that I'm on. And the national sale is one that I contribute to. So we got some time until that happens, like starting to ramp up now. So it just depends upon the committee you're on too and how involved you are. So the more involved you are, it's probably better for your committee so we can get some stuff done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Kale, you're also a year one. How's year one gone for you?
Amazing. Yeah, no, it's gone okay. It's trying at times, but I think it's going well. I think with the, if you're coming onto the board, I'm in a probably more of an abrasive person, so I don't know how to have a good delivery. But I work well with people that can understand the separation of business and friendship. I think we need to focus at running the association a bit more like a business. And obviously you need to have the personal relationships, but every board member needs to recognize that they should have the business and the association at whole as their main thought and not special interest or how it's going to affect them. And I think this year, I think we've had more internal self-serving things that have gone on that I think have been a bit distracting. That's just me speaking candidly, but I think we had a big world show. I think we all buckled down as a board, and for the most part, the entire board was there and pushed hard and worked together, even if we were at odds at times, but we still kind of came together to get that one through. I think it was kind of like a restaurant where the front of the house looked like everything was going great, but the back of the house was a complete shit show at times, but we all ended together. We all, you know, worked as a team through it. And I think that's always going to happen when you're having a huge event like that. There's things that are going to get dropped, but I think every exhibitor that I spoke to nearing the end of the world show was really happy with how it turned off. So.
Yeah. And I think if you talk to anybody in the hospitality business, they will say everything front of the house better look like it's going exactly the way it's supposed to. And if you're having a big event, it probably is going to look like pure chaos in the back of the house. But oh, that's fine. As long as it stays at the back of the house, we're good.
I've worked in restaurants, and it's thank God that the kitchens are usually soundproofed, because there's shit flying and people screaming and crying. And, but you know, as long as the person has a good experience, that's ultimately all that matters. And you can go show up at work the next day and get along with everybody and get the job done again. So I think we were successful in that standpoint.
Yeah. Well, and when I look at the three of you, each one of you brings different, unique knowledge, skills, and abilities to the board. So my next question is for Andrew. As the president of the board, what's the knowledge, skills, and abilities? What would you want from somebody coming onto the board that's going to kind of fill the gaps?
Oh, boy. Well, I think right now the biggest, I'm going to divert here a little bit, but, you know, you talked about these three being their first year. Like, it's an awful young board, as in time served. Like, there's no, I think I got 5 years, 6 years is the longest tenured board member. So I think our biggest hurdle as a board right now is just getting some people that have been on for more than a one term. We I think the one term and done last few people that have been on the board that have been very active and helped out a lot, it just overwhelmed them to the point where it didn't want to continue. I think to get some consistency and some people that want to stay on for more than one term it would be huge. Because with, you know, if we had somebody that had been on the board for, you know, 10, 15 years, you know, they can kind of guide the board, even if they aren't in a huge role, along where they've been and what decisions were made and why they were made. Like right now, we question a lot of stuff that's been done just because we don't know why it was done. Going forward, I mean, you just need to have the time. If you don't have the time to commit to it, is a big thing. And myself, Katie, you know, with young kids and stuff like that, sometimes it's very challenging to find that time. So I think that would be the number one requirement is just being able to find the time to put into it. Number two would be probably just the ability to communicate well and play well in the sandbox with others, even when you don't agree, to be able to at least have an adult conversation and then go away with it. Maybe not agreeing, but at least seeing each other's point of view and then moving forward from that. So probably be the big two biggest things. Yeah.
So just to confirm for those listening, the term is typically 3 years. Yep. So if you're looking for somebody, like if we're trying to solicit from a membership group, we're trying to look at individuals who are interested in maybe a couple terms to get that kind of 6 year stretch to put a little bit more longevity into the board and really pushing some of our current board members to maybe rerun to continue that longevity.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead, Gail.
Oh, I was
I just think
some of that is just the workload that some people take on. If it was spread out a little more evenly, sometimes I think would be better. Sometimes I think people, and I think some people take it on and don't even ask for help or realize that they're overwhelming themselves until it's too late and you're just burnt out. So
I would say too, about the reelection, I wouldn't say that somebody like in the past could definitely run for another term. Like we've had some that have been off for several years now that they might be an option to rerun again. Like they have some time in and some experience that we could gain back to the board.
So we need to go knocking on doors on those who have been on the board and get them back on the ballot.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, as chairman on the membership committee, I have reached out to people to see if they'd want to run. And I have called some board members that have been on the board in the past. I know early on that I've asked the people that are up for re-election this year if they wanted to seek re-election. I've kind of got some vague answers from one of them. I think the last conversation I had with two of them, they're thinking that they might. But you have to, and I say that about the three of us or the four of us that are on here. I think us four are all very passionate about the breed and actually want to see the Clydesdale Association succeed and don't have anything to gain. We're, I guess, losing time by spending time on the board, but I think we all of us on here, I think, truly feel like we're helping and doing something to better the association. If there's someone's wanting to rerun and you're on the fence, or if you really haven't participated in much, you know, then you shouldn't, because then you're just a seat holder, and there might be somebody that has a ton of passion that's willing to run that would be a better option. But I think you really have to have the time and really want to better the association, because otherwise you're just going to sit there and you're running just to get your name on the website or your name in the Clyde News.
Can I ask a question, Cale?
Yeah.
With you being on the nominee committee. I mean, I know when I was younger, my dad was on the board, there was always say six or seven people always running for the board every year. Now within the last few years, it seems like there's only three or four people. Say it's the incumbents and one other person. What do you think, or do you know why the decline of people, association members, not running for the board?
I'll just be honest. Like I've called Jeff Goodell and I called Shelby Zerubinsky and I said, hey, would you guys consider rerunning? Like there's some people that I personally thought were really active on the board and they were really good. Well, they got burned out. And I think that's where we're having this high turnover rate on the board. And I think a lot of that burnout comes because I don't think all of our board members are as active and are carrying the same load that a lot of other board members or committee members are carrying. And I think they get overwhelmed because we don't necessarily have a board where I don't think we're having equal participation on it. So I think that's part of it. And I think if five people are doing the work of nine, yeah, you're going to get exhausted and think, well, why am I doing this? It doesn't pay anything. And it's a lot of stress and it's a lot of time. So I think we got to get back to a cohesive group where we have nine people that are super passionate and have this energy and they want to do good and are willing to help and willing to do things. So I think that's the reason for the burn. And then when I asked them, that was what they thought as well. So.
And I think that's not uncommon. Like you think about changing jobs, like your first year of a new job, it's the hardest year.
Yeah.
It's one of the most stressful things you can do. So not only do you have your daily life, but you're also taking on this and learning something from a totally different spotlight. You know, you can be on a committee. It's one thing to be a committee member. It's another thing to chair the committee. And it's another thing to be on the board. Like all of them, you need to be at a different level. They take different skills to be able to do that. And it's a learning curve on each one of them. And so I think when you come in with a lot of passion and you want to do a lot of things, it's easy to overload yourself. And you have to remember you got 3 years, maybe 6 years to get some of it done. Mm-hmm. This association's like a huge ship. We're not turning it on a dime.
No.
Like, it's going to take a little bit of time.
And I don't want to talk anybody out of it. Like, we're trying to get people to run. I really think that if you got a group that really was all passionate and all wanted to put in work ethic, it's fun. Like, we have meetings and we usually have really good discussions. And I'm a person that loves that Discord. I like the thinking of creative and going that and kind of playing devil's advocate that way. But that works for me. I like it. So I'm not getting burned out that way from that. But I do think if you're really passionate about the Clydesdale horse, you want to see the breed succeed. You want to see people breed and show and raise and love Clydesdale horses. I think we need some people that have the excitement behind them to want to be a part of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to deter anybody. I also feel like we need to be really honest about the commitment and stuff so people don't regret their decisions either.
Yeah.
But I think now that the World Show is over, I think membership is kind of looking at, okay, what's next? What are the, you know, we have 3 years of, you know, we're not the ones hosting the next World Show. We've got some time to invest in and double down on association issues. I think I'm going to start with Andrew. What do you think the top two items, I'm not even going to call them issues, but what do you think the top two topics are that the board's going to need to focus on?
The World Show's over, but like the sale is the big event, you know, possible income earning event that we have in the year. So that one's always big. We did change it up a little bit this year, with the new Purchasing Association contract, the rates, monthly rates went up a little bit, and so did the digital horse, but the hourly rate that we get charged, went from $20 to $50 an hour, which was a significant increase. So we're trying to do, which there again, we're loading the board a little more, trying to do more in-house, so we can save some of that money so that we actually have a profitable sale and a sale worth doing. So we did go with a different contractor, so it should be a little more streamlined. One contractor doing the whole sale in and out, so that will be interesting, but I think it'll work out really good. So the second thing would just be, I guess, just looking back on making sure we have all of our bylaws and stuff like that in order. Some things have been changed over the years, but there's certain follow through that we didn't do on different aspects of it. And I can give you a couple examples. One is the registrations. On the registration forms, the rules of registry are different than in our bylaws. So the registration form was changed, but the follow through to the bylaws was never done. So we have two different, I mean, the rules are pretty much the same, but they are different. Listed differently
in different,
so they don't match. So that would be something that I think we need to work on and make sure all of that stuff is from stuff we have changed in policies and procedures, if it needs to be, is changed in the bylaws, which we need to take to the membership. So that would be the same as on the grade up. Like, we did the grade up program. And once again, we didn't follow through to our rules of registry, right? Like we focused on one thing so much that we didn't go past it back to the bylaws and take it to the full length. So even though we went through the membership, it didn't go all the way through. So stuff like that, I think we just need to, now that it's not a World Show year, I think we just need to take a good look at all that stuff and have that prepared. I know, like, me and Cale have talked about, and it is in our bylaws that we're supposed to meet twice a year. Now, we do have meetings.
Face-to-face meet twice a year?
Well, I think that's kind of what it says, but we do have a meeting every month, but the membership isn't included in only the one meeting. So we'd like to maybe talk about getting back to a fall meeting and trying to get some membership back involved in those meetings. So
I think it would be cool to get a fall meeting where you could almost do a workshop where we talked with Andrew, where you could get your committee members and invite members to come, but especially your committee members. That way the board could workshop on the budget, and then you could have your subcommittees actually meet and establish plans versus just meeting every month when everyone's trying to try to still live life like Andrew scooping ice cream here tonight. And it's tough when you're on a call to be focused.
Priorities.
Yeah. But when you're all, and that's life. Like I get it, but it's when you're face to face, I think you can get more done. And I think you get that camaraderie and you get everyone kind of that excitement. And I think you need that usually going into the fall, because otherwise kind of people fall off. Like it's a time of the year where the days get shorter, you get a little depressed and you're not as excited about it because show season's over and it's, kind of button up the barn for a little bit and take a break. So.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. I think the fall meeting would be very productive because like at the sale, we have a meeting, but there's so much else going on to where if you separate it out and you get everybody away from all the distractions of their life, even for 2 days, and you can have a workshop for a day and a half and then have a meeting at the end of it. I think would be huge. And I think it would be huge for the board just to spend some face-to-face time with each other. So, and we always used to do it. So.
Yeah. And that's following suit in a lot of businesses. They're going back to in-person meetings, in-person workshops, because you can't do work without building trust. And it's hard to build trust when you're not face-to-face, or you can't, at least even tonight, we're able to see everybody's faces. There's a lot of times when you're on a call and it's just a call.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of misinterpretation in communication because most of it's nonverbal.
Yeah. I would think the biggest part I look at the associate or look at the board a little bit more. And I think the biggest failure to me would be the communication from the board of directors to the membership. And a lot of that I think goes back to the e-letters. Now I'm on the marketing committee and I co-chair that with another board member. But I was never given the access to the constant contact is what we used to use. Then I would bring that up in committee meetings, and then the board or the committee, actually, I should say, the marketing committee said that we have the capability through the Clydesdale Breeders website to do email marketing. Well, I didn't have access and complete access to that either, but I tried sending emails off of that, and that would get hung up at about 170, 175, somewhere in there, and it would quit. And then recently, I've just actually the end of this last month before the new year got complete access to the website and have been able to get on hold with Wix customer support to find out why not all 1,800 emails were getting sent out. And they have no answer as to what that would be either. So my next thing at the next board meeting, which we have, I believe, next week, would be to go back to constant contact, and then hopefully I'll have the login information to go back to e-letters. So I think that was the biggest failure. I think I've seen something on social media from, I think, Steven that had posted on there, and I think it is a failure, but it's not for me lack of trying to get that information. So, yeah, I just got complete access to the Clydesdale Breeders website for complete updates as of December 30th, so...
I think that was another interesting conversation from the membership committee, is just even looking at the website. Andrew, you talked about, like, you start initiatives, but you don't go all the way through. Just some dead links on the website, places for applications. We've changed out, like, Katie and Grant and I are on the youth committee. We've changed out some things there, and just there's some old links. There was some new links. I mean, that's all got cleaned up, but I think there's just a little bit of that consistency pieces that are going to help our membership too, now that we have a non-world show year, to really double down on, again, just process pieces.
And going back to that consistency, like even when we change boards and stuff like that, it seems like once people get off, they just kind of drop out of most all the committees too. It would be nice to see people get off and then stay involved in at least one or two committees to just at least for a year or two to help with the changeover. So
do you think there's like a, some of the township boards and city boards have like past president, like even if your term is up, you are past president, like you have to stay an extra year, like one person has to stay on for that consistency. Is that something that we should be looking at in the bylaws so that you have that built in?
It actually does say it in the bylaws that we, the past president can come back as a advisor. So, and, but like I said, most of us are so new to it or haven't, and I'm guilty of it myself. I actually probably just read the bylaws myself from top to bottom. So I think just knowing that kind of stuff is good, but there again, you need the I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, but the tenure, yeah, of somebody that has been on there long enough to know all that stuff. So
yeah, Gail, any other questions on board or anything that we needed to cover from our conversation on the membership committee that we wanted answers to help membership?
Yeah, the membership committee, we are seeking, there's three people up for re-election this year. Joe Wilsinski is up for re-election, Rex Mann is up for re-election, and Kelly Gardner is up for re-election. So that'll be a three-year term. If you're interested in running, I just updated the website. This year, the membership committee would like to keep it to a 1,500 word minimum per Christie's motion and committee. Submit your, they always call it a resume, but we did put some talking points on the website. Basically, where you think that you could improve the association, I guess if you had some sort of a plan or if you had some points of interest, a little bit about background and history about who you are, where you hail from, and then some skills that you might have that could really improve the board. 1,500 words, those are due to the secretary at clydesusa.com email on February 1st, or you can drop them in the mail, but make sure they make it to the office by February 1st.
Boy, I don't think mine was 150 words.
Well, that's what Christy made the motion, and then after, I think she actually chat GPT'd how long a 1,500 word thing was, and then she's like, "Oh bugger!" And I told her
it's
after
still
she made
10 paragraphs, yeah. But I'm like, there's some of them where it's like 3 pages, and I'm like, we don't need 3 pages of information, and so that's why we added the talking points. It's like the point is to sell yourself as a potential board member, and not everything you've ever done in your entire life.
But
and if you can sum up everything you've done in your entire life, Andrew, in 150 words, that is,
that's talent.
Wow, articulate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You haven't accomplished much. Not people very, can take that either way.
Not very articulate.
But now I told Christy, I said, now that you said 1,500 words, people are going to get a half a page and think, oh God, that's 300 words. I got to write more.
How do I get to 1,500?
It's going to backfire. So no, but
well, if I started writing now, I might get to 1,500 by the time I need to do this again.
you might. But in all honesty, please, if you're considering it, just run, put yourself out there. My goal is to have, I don't want to have 30 people running, but I would love to have options where people could say, oh God, well, two of them are, there's four running, one of them's not going to get on. I think you should at least have 6-7 people, give people a choice, and please run. We do have fun. It's just like this podcast, we can joke around, we're talking about serious stuff, but there's always a little crack where we can have a laugh, and it is fun. If you love the Clydesdale horse, it is an exciting thing to be a part of. So
yeah. Well, and I think the other thing is, if you're interested in running, that is a great thing, because what we also might do is, if you don't get on the board, there's several committees that could use some membership. So like, there's lots of opportunities to get involved. And like Andrew said, the sale is the biggest event. There's so many volunteer opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking that I want to get involved, I want to do a little something, just reach out and we can definitely find you a job at the sale. I think Kale might give up his walkie-talkie. He probably doesn't want to run that anymore.
Sure, gladly.
There's always the only prerequisite for that is you have to have colorful language. So I don't know, not everybody can do that.
there's always options to help set up the banquet.
Yes.
Set up and tear down the banquet. Something simple.
Oh, banquets. Oh,
set up the banquet. Take tickets. Hand tickets. Like, there's always something to do.
Yeah, if you want to sell banquet tickets for an hour, if you want to, you know, set up the coffee and donuts, or even just you walk through at noon and clean it up, or wipe the table down at 10 a.m. Like, there's anywhere if you want to be a part of it. And we've had several volunteers that have come down where I've asked, like, hey, I asked Chrissy Heatley one year, like, hey, would you help get horses from the barn to the sale ring? And she actually thoroughly loved it, because she said, you know, now I had a reason to be there. So if you're going to the sale and you want to feel like you want to get to know people better, reach out to Andrew, Kelly, Katie, Grant, or myself, or anyone else on the board, and just say, hey, where can I help? And is could I do something like this? And if they don't give you an idea that you like, well, then give them an idea, like, hey, I wouldn't mind doing this. And I said, we'll glad you get to that direction. But that's where you really meet people.
Yeah, sounds good.
Upcoming deadlines. So February 1st, membership, if you're interested in running for the board, get those to the office or emailed in by February 1st. The National Clydesdale Sale. The entries are pouring in. Kelly Gardner is collecting them. So if you are sending, you're going to have to send your sign transfer and your horse's registration paper in. Make sure you send those to Kelly Gardner. The address is at the bottom of the entry form. Everyone should have got that. Those are due by February 1st as well. We have a 100-horse cap. Once that cap is reached and you didn't quite make the cut, you'll be put on a wait list. And if there's a scratch, you'll be called in the order and the entry was made. So if there's five ahead of you, then it's got to be six scratches before you're going to get a phone call. Also, the dues renewal form was sent out to every lifetime member. There's QR codes to pay via Digital Horse or to pay on the Clydesdale Breeders of the USA website shop. Scan those QR codes. The Clydesdale News proof went out to the board and committee members, hoping to get that approved and going to print this week is the plan. So if you're wanting to get that, either call the office with your credit card information if you don't want to do the QR code and pay your dues, or do either of the ways that are provided. If you don't get your dues in before the mailing goes out, you'll be sent in a secondary mailing, so you'll be receiving the Clydesdale News later. So more incentivized to get your dues paid as quick as possible.
Can I touch base at Kale regarding the sale? I'm overseeing vendors. So if there's any vendors that are interested, please reach out to me. I believe that is that information up on the website.
Okay. Yep. The vendor form is on ClydesdaleSale.com. I think all your contact information is on that, Grant.
Okay. Yeah, I will be reaching out to past vendors from at least last couple of years from the sale and from the World Show. So I believe we'll, you know, be able to accommodate any vendor, but, you know, feel free to email, call me. I'll be more happy to answer any questions.
All right.
Katie, you got
another deadline.
There you go.
Yeah. National Clydesdale Queen. March 1st.
For all the young ladies who want to wear a tiara, there's a deadline for that.
Yes. March 1st. So hopefully we got several this year. So if reach out to those that would like to be the queen, got to be 16 and single.
Oh my God. Wow.
Does it really say he's single?
Is there a cap age, like 16 to, there's no top age?
I haven't seen one.
By single, does that mean you're not married or like
God,
single?
I would hope
single.
There is no ring on the finger.
Okay. Right, I'm just checking. And what's the age cutoff? Like 55?
I think you're too old, Andrew.
I think retirement. So if you're 64 and a half, you're out. Yeah.
I don't think anybody wants a ribbon from you.
No, I'm just serious. So, like, is there an age, like, cut off to how old you take them?
I'd say college age, like out of college, I think. I don't think by that time you have time.
Like 35 by now.
Christy, you going to go back to school?
I'm going to go back to school and I need to figure out how to be single in 16.
Well, I'm sure there's an attorney that can help with the single thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might lose too much money in that. Yeah. Might not be worth a crown.
Not worth it.
You do get paid, but it's not. You're not going to make a living.
Fees.
Reimbursed.
She'll be paid for enough for the hour of the attorney.
Yeah. Reimbursed is a good way to put that. Thank you.
Yeah. So what are the details? When is that due, Katie?
March 1st.
Okay.
Is it still an essay or is it an application? Because again, we were looking at the website and it looks like application, but it doesn't go anywhere. So
yes, application and 3 letters of recommendation.
Ooh. Oh, that's where I'd lose it, Kale.
Yeah.
3 letters, 3 letters of recommendation.
Yeah.
I'd have to get the 3 people or 3 of the 4 out of here to write the letter for me because I don't have anyone else.
I don't know if you got enough money to buy that many recommendations, Kale.
I couldn't afford it. No. Shit. Well, cool. I think it's been informative. I don't want to spook anybody off. We do cut up and have a joke here and there, but we would gladly take anyone that's interested in doing it. We do, I think, last I checked with Kelly and on the spreadsheet I have here that I've been collecting, I think we're approaching the 40 mark for entries. So almost that halfway point. I know there's a bunch that have said that they're in the mail. So I told Kelly too, by the end of this week, I'm sure we'll be over half full. So if you're thinking about it, get your horse in, get it entered. You can always substitute. So
only taking 100.
Yeah.
Yep. We've been pushing that.
Also, to advertise too in the sale book, right?
Yes.
Those are due by the
first as well. There's been a couple people this year. We're not doing the 2 photos. So there's been actually people that have submitted their horses and have decided to do an ad instead. So yeah, ads are due to the first. They're going to be going to Top Line Marketing. Same as who's producing the Clydesdale News for the Clydesdale Breeders Association. Get those into the first. You can reach out to me if you have questions on specs, but it's going to be 8.5 by 11 at an eighth of an inch for full bleed. If you have any questions, reach out to anyone on the board here and we can point you in the right direction. Ads are due for that same time. So Raffle Philly, hopefully Raffle Philly banquet tickets, reserve seating should all be going live after next week's board meeting. So expect those by the middle of January, those to go live. I'm hoping we can get a constant contact email that'll go out right before those go live to give everybody an equal opportunity at purchasing those. So 1,000 tickets for the raffle. Philly prices were the same as last year, so it's what, 25 a ticket or 5 for 100?
Yep.
Perfect. So
do we have the raffle Philly secured? Do we know who it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
We bought a Philly from Dylan Clay. The name of the Philly, I don't have it right in front of me, but it's a Philly. So something we haven't had as a raffle in a while. So
okay. Good. Thank you to Dylan for making her available to the association.
Yeah. Well, very good.
And then the other thing on the sale is if anybody is listening that wants a sponsorship opportunity, we do have several sponsorships available. We do have a nice little package for anybody who does want to sponsor. If you sponsor up to $1,000, you get either a choice of a preferred seating table in the sponsor section. You get a sign displayed up at the auction block, or you can have a page ad in the sale book. To $2,000, you can have both. So, so we do have lots of opportunities for sponsorship. It just helps with the sale and keeping it profitable for us, and it's a nice touch. So
yeah, in the past,
yeah, it always looks really nice up front with all those sponsor plaques that we got up there.
Yeah,
it
and just
makes the sale ring looks nice.
Just to give an idea for people, if they're interested in sponsoring, in the past we've had sponsors for the DJ, sponsors for happy hour, sponsors for the ring, Breakfast sponsorships are also available for the 3 days of the sale on the hospitality tent and in the barn. But yeah, if you're looking, or we've even had people sponsor part of the catalog or to pay part of the offset the cost of the meal. So if you're interested in having your name displayed in the catalog, in the sale arena, and then sit in the best seat in the house close to the auction block and in a chair and with 6 of your buddies, sponsor. So.
Okay.
That should do it.
If nothing else, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.